Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. Pastor Ken, you and I have been talking to Peter Williams the last few times. And Peter, we kind of left off with talking about times of despair in your life, the loss of your stepbrother, Zachary, just recently. And we were also talking about the loss of your brother, Jonathan, and how that he had swallowed a little tack, a thumbtack, that pierced his esophagus, caused a loss of oxygen to his brain, and just a period of 2 weeks, I think you said, of praying for God's healing and trusting that God was going to bring him through. But the end of the story was God took him home. He did know the Lord as his personal Savior. But in the break, you were sharing with us just some after his death blessings. Share that with us.
Yes, that was not the end of the story. Our family continued on, and God used a situation with a particular young lady to really encourage our hearts. You see, Jonathan's body was really, for all intents and purposes, in perfect working order. It was just his brain that was damaged.
Right.
And for that reason, all of his internal organs were all perfectly functioning.
Sure.
And he was in a hospital when they chose to take him off life support.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to preserve many of those vital organs. And so his death was able to give life in many ways to several individuals, one girl in particular that received his heart. Now, receiving a heart transplant is always a little bit difficult, and finding one that's small is, of course, a challenge because you don't have
not many 10-year-olds.
Exactly. You don't have a lot of 10-year-olds that pass away and are in a situation where their heart is able to be reused.
Yes, right.
And this was a situation where they were able to reuse that heart, and this other young lady was able to receive that heart transplant. And so while we looked at the situation from our perspective and we saw tragedy, there were many other lives that were touched. And when they saw this happen, yes, it was tragic, but for them, it was a miracle. It was something that many of them had prayed for, that their family members had prayed for. They had said, Lord, I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter, I have a niece or a nephew that needs this organ. Would you please provide that?
And all of these folks then would have to be young people, wouldn't they?
Correct.
Did the doctor come and specifically ask your folks about this, or is that something they had decided this is what we want to do? How did that, because there's a lot of discussion today on, you know, organ donation and probably more so today than even back in the day of Jonathan's death. So how did they work that with you?
I'm not sure the specific details of how it was brought about to my parents, but I can tell you that when they discovered that Jonathan had indeed passed away, that there was no brain activity, that there was no question in their minds that they wanted to donate his organs, that this to them just seemed like an obvious thing to do. And it was an opportunity, I think, for them to see light in that dark situation, to see God working and to see what he was going to do through Jonathan's death.
And you talked about this other little girl who actually got his heart. Have you ever met this girl? You met their family, or?
I have not personally, but my family has.
Okay.
They have told me about this opportunity that they had to get in contact with her. And just the joy that they can see in her. And it was almost like getting to see the life that Jonathan didn't have here on earth. He, of course, has new life in heaven, a perfect body that he does not have to worry about the cares that we do here. But that smile, they said, that was on her face reminded them of Jonathan, the smile that he had.
Yeah, that's moving.
And you know, when you consider the last week of that two-week period of time when it first of all, sounded like, okay, he's going to make it maybe, and then the last week getting worse and worse and worse. Possibly during that time, they we're having times of reflection like, okay, Lord, if not this, which is our desire for him to live, then what? And, you know, that's really a good time of reflection for every one of us, isn't it?
Yes.
If not this, Lord, which is my desire, then what? And I'm open to whatever it is. That's a real step of faith, isn't it?
Yes. My mom shared in her book and later with us how the Lord had brought several scripture passages to her mind, to her heart. Some instances she actually had said that she would just open her Bible. And, you know, this is not what we learn about in
school.
Put your
finger here.
Yes. Not the best way to do a Bible study. But it was amazing to see some of the verses that God brought her to that encouraged her with the knowledge that God is in control, that his ways are not our ways, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, but his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we have that comfort of knowing that not just that he is in control, but that he loves us, and we can rest on the fact that what he does in our lives is very much embodied, not just in his sovereignty, but also out of a great love for us.
What's the title of the book?
Jonathan's Miracle.
And can people get a hold of that book today?
They can. I believe it is available on Amazon.
Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Jonathan's Miracle?
Jonathan's Miracle.
And your mom's name?
Lori White.
Lori White?
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking to Peter Williams about the death of his brother and some of the resulting blessings that came after his homegoing, and as we said earlier, he did know Christ as his Savior. And sometimes, Peter, people are superstitious. They're afraid to pray, if not this, then what? Because sometimes they think, well, man, if I say then what, then I'm giving up on God. And so I'm never going to say then what. I'm always going to say, well, Lord, this, this, this. But yet, as we study Scripture, we can see a lot of people in Scripture that discovered it was an if not this, but what situation, can't we?
Yes, we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, God is able to deliver us, but if not, and what a great way to pray. And in this instance, that would be very applicable where we said, Lord, we know you can heal Jonathan, but if not.
Right. Right.
And in this instance, it was a but if not. He chose not to heal Jonathan, but he had a greater miracle that he worked through Jonathan's death, and that he touched the bodies of many people, but also the hearts and the lives of many people. He brought many people together. He really made himself real to many individuals through that circumstance, our family, but many folks in our church, for many individuals who experience a death of a close relative, it brings death to the forefront. We so often think that it is a long way off, that we have many years on earth. And there is a parable, too, of the man who said, you know, he brought in many goods. And he said, well, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to store all this up and I'm going to rest easy. And it says in God's word that he said, thou fool, this day your life will be required of you.
Right.
And then what good is all that you have? And I think that was very well a turning point for many folks. They saw, wow, here's a 10-year-old boy, and that's what he got. He got 10 years.
Right.
Don't I need to make the most of the time that I have?
Somebody said that our life is not measured by duration, but by donation. What do we donate in the years that we have to the lives of others? And only heaven will really reveal the total story of what Jonathan's life meant and what his death meant. And it's really exciting to just hear the name of the book that your mother wrote, Jonathan's Miracle. So there's the perspective of all things work together for good to them who love God. And, of course, during times like that, Satan comes along and says, well, how could you love God? when he mm-hmm. has taken your brother? How could you love God when he didn't answer your prayer in saving your little son? And does everything you possibly can to get us to stop loving God, because then at that point all things don't work together for good.
And I think what has really struck me, too, with this, Pastor Greg, is that even though God took Jonathan home, he still used some of Jonathan's body to produce life in others.
Perfect illustration.
And the opportunity, and I don't know if they came to know the Lord, you know, these families or what, but that they have life and breath to even hear that message of salvation and that opportunity. And I'm sure that would be the excitement, is not only were they saved physically,
yeah,
but
right.
saved spiritually. I take it you've read your mom's book through, or have you not made it through yet?
Actually, I'm still working through the book.
Yeah,
I still struggle to get, I get about 5 or 10 pages through, and then I take a break for a while.
Yeah, that would be heartbreaking.
Has your mom given that book to the people that got his organs?
She has given that book to a good number of people. And although some are allowed to contact us,
oh, I see.
We're not necessarily allowed to contact
them. I got you. Okay.
So they have to initiate that. The young girl with the heart initiated that contact.
Right.
Wow.
And did she get a copy of the book?
I actually have to ask.
That's a good question.
I bet your mom did. I'd be shocked if she did.
Because wouldn't it be neat for her to be sitting there, Jonathan's heart beating within her, reading about Jonathan's miracle? And boy, what a testimony of God's work that mm-hmm. book would be in her life.
My mom carries several copies of the book with her, and she's given me a number of copies because I have run into a good number of people sure. who have encountered a similar situation, and they are looking for answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this has been a great opportunity to share with them answers of what God does
right.
Through the death of a loved one.
Hmm. And it basically gets back to the main theme of the Word for Life radio broadcast. What have you gone through? What have you learned about God? What key scripture verses did God use? And what a testimony that is in that area. Well, Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. That's heartbreaking and yet encouraging in the same vein, Pastor Greg. So thank you for setting this up.
And folks, as you have listened to Peter's testimony, just be reminded, first of all, it doesn't make a difference what you've gone through in the past. God can use you as God impresses on your heart what he wants you to be and do. Don't walk away. Don't give up on God. Let God do that work in your heart and life. And then as you go through times of despair, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.